Every time the Zoom meeting option comes on, it says, I have an option to leave the meeting after it's being recorded. And I always pick the clear button and not the red button. Just want to let you know that.
Why are you so quick to leave these meetings? Or why are you so quick to hit leave?
You know.
Why was this such a long pause?
I was going to go real deep. I'm going to just say because I want to.
That's even worse than getting deep. I want to. I just want to leave. That's it. Boom. Wow. What about your friends?
I was going to say it's rooted in a bunch of different types of abandonment issues, but I didn't want to go there at the start.
Abandonment issues?
But you said you would abandon you. I would abandon you before you abandon me. Yeah.
But exactly. I'm not planning to abandon you. You abandoning the meeting means that's the issue. So how can you have abandonment issues?
Because I'm having PTSD when you say that. This is why I'm choking up.
PTSD? What are you talking about? I'm confused.
You've abandoned me before. So.
Yikes. All right.
So this is why I was trying to prevent this when I said I just wanted to, but you like to dig deeper and deeper and deeper into things that you shouldn't be going deeply into.
Well, sorry that I like information. My bad.
I don't know if it's information per se, but we'll call it whatever you like.
This is how you want to get started? We just had a live show. We're supposed to be changing our image.
I'm evolving, so.
Are you evolving?
I am evolving.
Sounds like you're at the same level.
Evolved. I've evolved. Stop it. Don't do that.
In the past couple weeks? All right.
Yes, I have, because it was my birthday.
Yes, it was. Pop, pop.
Of course I evolved.
You grew up. That's more growing up than evolving. But, well, I'm happy that your birthday has passed. Wow. And gone. In the sense that it was a joyous occasion, I'm sure.
I didn't do anything on my birthday. All right. Well, I actually got my heart broke. But we're not going to go there. So
we don't have to go there. The fact is, we don't have to go there. That's fine.
So wait, you want to stop at my heartbreak, but when I want to leave the meeting, you want to get more quote-unquote information.
You leaving the meeting affects both of us.
The math ain't mathing to me right now.
You leaving the meeting affects both of us. You getting your heart broke is sad. Oh. And I would want to know more, but if you don't want to share more, I'm not forcing you.
But I didn't give that option. I gave a clear option in the beginning. It's not adding up to me, but you know, I'll let you drive the boat this time.
I feel like leaving the meeting now. I feel like hitting leave. I don't like this anymore.
You have not evolved at all.
Yikes. One day. Probably not today. Sophisticated ignorance.
Just slide it right in, didn't you?
Nope, don't do that.
Skirt, skirt.
Queen of the block.
I am evolving, okay?
All right, here we go again. Anyway, welcome to Sophisticated Ignorance,
the podcast. Welcome, everyone.
We are back after our miraculous live show experience.
That was great. Oh,
that was good times. Remember when you were stressing about it, and I said, "Yo, son, don't stress."
Boom, I still kind of am.
How are you still stressing when it's over?
Because you know when you replay things in your head, like when you go to sleep and you're like, "Okay, the day was great," and then like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, you start thinking about all the things that could have went well or could have. Mm-hmm. been said or what have happened. That ran through my mind a couple of times, but I think overall it was good.
Amazing. I mean, that was the first time that we've ever done something like that. And I think we pulled it off. Everyone said that I had a good time, everyone enjoyed themselves, and even to the point where they were asking if we were doing it again.
Man, the DMs and the text messages I was getting. Oh my God, Rovi, I loved it so much. When are you going to do it again? Are you going to go on tour? Are you going by state?
Tour? Do we look like Escape?
we
look like SWV. Like,
I mean, I would love to. Would I? That's a question.
If y'all are funding this tour, then yeah, we'll go. Throw some money into our account, and we will be in your city next.
Funding. That's funny.
You want us to come to Miami? You want us to come to wherever city?
I don't. I don't want anybody to come to Miami.
Why not?
It's too wide open.
It's been wide open.
I know, but you know, safety wise, don't come.
All right. Well, all right. Yeah. Then our tour is not hitting Miami.
Not anytime soon. One day. One day.
But yes, if y'all want all those fun things, then as I said, send us monies and we will gladly come to any city possible as long as it's safe, and we'll do all types of live shows and all that jazz. But yeah, no, we do, I at least appreciate the people who did come out, who did show face, who did support, and you know, walked away with a lot of goodies that night because we had a lot of good sponsors. And
yeah, the sponsors, shout out to all the sponsors for helping us with our goodie bags. Everyone enjoyed the goodie bags. A lot of people didn't realize there were cakes in the bag until afterwards, and they're texting me. Well, you know, we had a little bit of a technical issues. They thought it was like a body scrub, and I'm like,
Did someone scrub themselves with the cake?
I'm like, no, eat it, it's good for you. Tastes well. I wish I took some more cake.
Well, honestly, if you do want to order from Drunken Shots, that was one of our sponsors for the show. You can follow them and order a cake. She ships, you know, nationwide. So, you know, no matter where you are, you can get yourself a good old cake jar, which will be bigger and absolutely much more delicious. So, yeah. Her and other sponsors. So yeah, shout out to everybody that came through. It was a really good time. At some point we'll be posting some video from the live show, and yeah, I'm just glad that we did it. We did that.
Me too.
Now we're embarking on a new chapter of this podcast where we promise to do things bigger, better, smarter, and more intentionally. So I'm looking forward to it.
Same here.
Good stuff. And that's something that you can't just leave.
Why would I leave now when I'm already in too deep?
I'm sorry? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a great thing. I'm already in it. Why leave now?
This is true. Okay.
I mean, I've evolved and I've stopped just abruptly leaving things and, you know, blocking people just on first impression scenarios.
No, but you have to keep blocking people.
Why?
Because that's your brand. You're queen of the block. If you don't block people, you're gonna be queen of the mute. It doesn't have the same effect. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's not hard for me to do it and then still see you the next day. But I'm trying to be a better person. But my co-host says I can still block you. So
as long as you come correct. If you don't come
the
correct,
the trigger is coming.
As long as you come correct, then you won't have to get blocked. And that's it. That's all.
That could be true, but yeah.
Should be true.
Could.
All right. Based on the interaction you shared with me recently, that deserved a big blocking. Okay? That's all I'm going to say. But we don't have to get into details. We'll save that for
another day.
I'm
trying to make this a more progressive podcast, but you keep bringing me down. I want to be able so I can evolve. And, you know, like our audience said, they wanted to hear us be more, you know, involved, but not cutthroat with each other. But I think I'm still going to come out with my blades for you once or twice.
I'm not shading you. I'm on your side. All I'm saying
is... I'm not sure.
Wowzer.
All
right. Point being, because
you know it's still September and it's basically my birthday, so.
When does Virgo season end? I have to look it up on my calendar.
October 1st.
Really? Is it October 1st?
Yeah.
I want to set some alarms just to remind myself. Just so I know what to celebrate when it's all over.
It's not my fault you were in love with a Virgo.
Yes, we all make mistakes in life, but here we are.
See, that's not progression at all.
I'm joking, okay? I told you the other day that I'm going to be nicer.
So. Nah, you lost all your Virgo followers. Oh, just gosh. Right there. Yep.
Then what? It's all three of them?
Okay, so today's topic is...
Okay, fine. Let us get into today's topic. It is a serious topic, but it's also something that's been happening a lot lately, especially with... for those of you who are not familiar with the Gabby Petito case, it is the latest, biggest missing persons case that has really been rocking social media and media in general, especially with news outlets. To briefly explain, Gabby Petito is this white girl who recently went missing after going on a trip with her fiancé. They both went on a trip. The fiancé came back without Gabby, and that's just caused a huge stir in like who did it and him being a suspect, and you know, everyone has just been kind of going through the ringer of like, where is she, and hoping that she's okay. So I just want to preface this conversation with, any missing persons case is horrible, you know, obviously, you know, for someone who is missing, we always want to make sure that they're safe and well. You know, unfortunately there are certain cases where people do go missing and they end up, you know, dead, or they're found out that they've passed away. So those are always the worst case scenarios. But for the most part, you know, any missing person case, we always want to make sure that the person's safe and gets back to their families. Sometimes that happens, other times not so much. There was even a scare recently with Kelly Price. Kelly Price, the singer, she was reported to recently have gone missing after a COVID scare. But she was found, or
I'm not too sure about that, because the premise came up, she was not heard of for a month, which is shocking in itself. And then, you know, it finally came with little like specks of truth of her having COVID. And then apparently, according to her attorney, she's alive and well, but according to her family members, they still haven't heard or received anything any word from her. So that's a whole nother case that's still unresolved.
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely, you know, take that with a grain of salt. I mean, as I said, I just heard about her missing. Obviously, you hear it through like social media and stuff like that. So take that with a grain of salt. Nothing has been confirmed. So fact check if you need to. But as I said, as far as I've heard, that was the current situation, that she wasn't heard of or quote unquote missing. But there's actually people who have gone missing that we're going to talk about in today's episode. And really the premise is, so with this Gabby Petito case, and this is just the latest incident, but in the past, I'm pretty sure if we have been following the news, there have been many cases of like white girls who have gone missing and they've become huge national stories. But we really want to start highlighting in this particular case, the fact of there's a disproportionate amount of coverage when it comes to white girls missing comparable to their black and brown counterparts, right? So Joy Reid, for those of you who know, she's a person on MSNBC. She recently had a report talking about the recent Gabby Petito case, kind of leaning into this bigger issue, which is called missing white woman syndrome, which basically means that, as I just mentioned, you know, there tends to be a lot more media coverage for particularly white girls who go missing rather than their counterparts. And just the disparity of that is troubling, because ultimately every person that goes missing, of course, you're not going to always get the same level of media coverage. But particularly when it comes to this, it's like, all right, yes, Gabby Petito missing is, of course, horrible, and it's really sad and upsetting. But where's the same energy for, you know, like black girls specifically and other people who go missing in our communities? Where's that same, you know, energy in the media? So Joy Reid talks about that with a few other people on a panel on her show. One of those people are the founder of this organization called Black and Missing Foundation, which we're going to talk about later in the show. But, you know, there are different sources and different organizations that are trying to work at, you know, supporting the finding of, like, black people, black women, in this case, and those type of cases. So, while, you know, I was kind of doing the research about it, and I guess I want to get your opinion, and I already have my answer, but I think a lot of people who were kind of following what Joy was saying was kind of responding in a sense of, well, oh, this is somewhat race baiting to say that, oh, if, you know, Gabby Petito could get all this attention, why not, you know, people of color getting the same attention? People were getting upset saying, oh, well, Joy Reid is race baiting. Why does this have to be an issue about race and stuff like that? So I wanted to know what you thought about that. In this case where there is a disproportionate level of coverage between those type of cases.
Well, I definitely feel as though it can be seen as driven by race, because should a black person or a person of color and a white person go missing at the exact same time, what would happen in a real life situation? Of course, the white girl who is, you know, blonde, innocent looking, angelic, has the face that can be shown in media and on news platforms, and just show her face where, let's say, someone like a Jelani, if everyone doesn't know, Jelani Day was missing for a month as well, too. And also was found, you know, murdered, but didn't get the same media coverage. There is a lot of negativity that are hit with putting up Jelani's face on a media platform versus someone like Gabby's. Not to take away anything from Gabby's family, you know, I'm sure they're completely heartbroken, and people have heard the stories before, and they deserve all the media and the news coverage. But why is it that when putting up her face on a media platform, she will receive more outlets? You know, all of the sleuths and the internet detectives are ready to know everything that goes on, or the last minutes of her death, or the last time she had in contact. But if you put up a face like Jelani, it's almost hit with negativity, and it's like we are almost conditioned as a society and news and viewers alike just not to care about someone like Jelani, because that face has always been negatively seen in the news. I think that's where I feel the race driven is coming up, because they're both young adults, both have parents, both have a good family background, both were doing well, trying to excel in their own individual lives. Why is one person's missing story more important than the other's missing story? Same mothers want to find their children. There's the same, I think I saw a news report where Jelani's mother wanted to know, why is Gabby more deserving? Not to take away from her, but she wants to find her child as well, too. Exactly. So I think it stems along that line of, you know, and this is just throughout the patriarchy of U.S. History, that a white woman is on the pedestal and she's more pure and angelic, and that somebody will want to save her in that aspect. And where, excuse me, where Miss Joy is coming from, I agree with her in that standpoint. Even, not even a black person, there was also an Asian woman from New Jersey, Lauren Cho, who was missing as well too. Same time frame, same timeline, no media coverage at all. Is the media's viewpoint of Asian people the same way too? We all know the answer to that. Right. Of course she's not going to get the same coverage as well as Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito had a great story. This is why the internet sleuths, which I am so surprised that we have so many of these people, especially with the ID Channel fans, you know, they would go, they would investigate, look at her last text messages when she was her last phone call, see what the boyfriend was doing, but they can't give that same type of energy. And this is the stuff that they love to do. They do this for fun. Like, they want to solve unsolvable cold case crimes, right? But that's clearly, I mean, I'm no lawyer, but that's a solvable crime. You left with your boyfriend. Your boyfriend came back without you, or fiance, and he has nothing to say. I don't know where she went. That is an open and shut case for me. I'm sorry.
Big open and shut. Sorry.
But other people who go missing, like Jelani Davis, like Lauren Cho, you have the resources to go in, and we have such data and technology to know what happened to them in the very last aspects of their lives. And nobody has even looked into that scenario. Why is that?
Right.
Why is that?
Yeah. And this is what basically Joy was talking about, where, you know, even without the media coverage, there's still those resources out there that are available for people to tap into to find these people. You know, when you're talking about, like, internet sleuths, it kind of reminds me of this, the latest Netflix series, Clickbait, right?
For those who my gosh.
I'm still watching it right now, so don't spoil it. But I hear this is, like, a big twist at the end.
Man.
But not to spoil the whole thing, but the premise of the show is that someone, a white guy, does some fucked up shit. He goes missing, and there's, like, these internet sleuths that use all these type of, like, technologies and informations and stuff to find him or to try to track him, right? So it's just an example of, you know, and this happens in real life. There are, like, forums. There's a whole bunch of forums on, like, Reddit and other places where they have, like, these cold cases or these missing people.
These retired cops, these detectives, these people who can't give up the chase behind doing stuff. And they have these platforms to do so and make more of an attention to those people who cannot speak for themselves, i.e. black people, people of color, and it's still, there's still no energy being provided to that. It only took 2 days for the FBI to jump on Gabby Pepito's case.
Right.
There were people missing before her timeline even spanned out.
Immediately, yeah. But, I mean, as I said in the beginning of the episode, just, like, obviously keeping in mind, you know, there's so many missing cases, missing person cases out there, right? So, I mean, yes, even though the resources are out there in a sense of being able to, like, put all that energy into finding people, there's only so much you can do, right, in certain cases. So, granted, I'm not using that as an excuse. That's just the nature of what things are.
It's but the reality.
It's just really more, the focus here is just more the fact that the media chooses to cover certain people versus others. And I think that's really the fucked up part. You know, when it comes to Gabby Petito, hey, I'm no lawyer, and I know in this case I should say allegedly, but the boyfriend did it, period. The fiance did it. That's it. I mean, open shut case, next witness. Because, yeah, no way. There's no way me or you could be the family or friend of somebody that goes out with their fiance, they come back missing, and everyone's just supposed to be okay with that. And then the fiance automatically lawyers up. Come on. It's big fishy.
It's deeper than that. And I'm sure.
Of course.
I'm not even going to, not trying to make light of it, but you know that there's going to be a Lifetime movie based on this.
Or some type
or
of.
Show or something.
Documentary or.
SVU is going to jump on it. Something.
Deeper dive. But yeah, I mean, that's usually what happens in these cases. But as you were mentioning Jelani Day, which is, of course, a, you know, a fortunate story, you were saying that there were other people who have gone missing. Another example is this guy, Daniel Robinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
So his story is that he went missing a couple months ago, and his father has been trying to, like, find him ever since. There's actually a GoFundMe for people to help with that search. And many people in the comments have been trying to offer, they've been offering money, but also offering, like, hey, you know, I have these resources. I saw a comment where this guy was, like, offering his drone in order to, like, look in the area where he went missing. And, you know, the GoFundMe is really trying to raise funds for, like, a private investigator, flyers, you know, search and rescue team, you know, all these other things. So, you know, there's other people who are taking it amongst themselves, you know, because, you know, the law enforcement is not, you know, doing their jobs in these cases. So it's unfortunate that the family feels like they have to take matters into their own hands in order to find their loved ones, right? Because once again, they're not going to get that media coverage. they're not going to get, you know, that support from law enforcement as much as they should. There's another case with this girl named Keisha Jacobs. Like, she's been missing since 2016.
Yeah.
And her mom was, you know, recently complaining how, you know, the police have not been putting that much energy into finding her. And to this day, she's still missing. So, you know, I think, once again, ultimately, everyone feels the same sentiment of course, we don't want anybody's child or family member or friend to go missing. But just the fact that certain people get more attention than others is, and even outside of media, just as I said, in the sense of resources of, like, cops and authorities, you know, that's the part where, like, no one should be funding, no one should be asking for money to find their loved one, their missing loved one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's wild. Like, right. If, like, heaven forbid, if somebody goes missing in my family, I would hope that if I, you know, talk to the proper authorities, they would do everything that they can to find them, right? And we all know about the infamous first 48. Like, after that amount of time passes, the probability of that person, you know, being in a better state is decreased. So, you know, those type of cases are very crucial. And the fact that, you know, these are a few examples, as you said, Jelani earlier, and Daniel and Keisha and some countless others, right, who have been missing for either months or longer, and it's just, you know, their families have to kind of deal with the fact that they might never find them, or heaven forbid they do find them, it's either dead or something else. So, you know, it is
you said something that struck with me. There was a it might have been based on real life facts and events, but it was a story on SVU, mm-hmm. Law and Order SVU, and it was a missing child, missing for, I think, 10 years, and the mother never gave up hope trying to find her child, and they showed the progression and the timeline. Fast forward 10 years into the future, the exact same motive, the same scenario, the same type of kidnapping occurred, but the two major differences was this child was Latino 10 years ago, and the new child who got kidnapped, mm-hmm. was a white child. And the only reason why it brought back to surface of the old case is because, again, the white child syndrome, the white woman savior syndrome, and that just struck a nerve with me, thinking that if something like this, let's say, happened to a woman of color with Gabby Petito, we would not hear anything about it until somebody comes up front and say, hey, this happened to such and such a girl 10 years ago, and nobody has looked into this case.
Right.
And it's the same scenario, maybe the same boyfriend, the same motive, and nobody looked into it. Mm-hmm. Why is it that it has to take a white counterpart to make it seem worthy enough for some type of coverage or some type of police investigation or even some kind of, you know, true crime fanatics who want to just browse a website and look for things? Why does it take for a white woman to get this kind of media coverage? And this is the answer that we need to get, because there's no resolution behind it, because tomorrow somebody else might go missing, God forbid, and nobody will hear anything about it.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, and we're going to get into this a little bit later, but I think there may be some reasons why it's the case where, you know, certain people get coverage over others, and especially in a racial makeup. So I think those answers, whatever you're asking, we might get the answers when I go through these notes. But I think another interesting fact, statistically, right, I was looking at the CNN article, and it shared the percentage of missing persons cases with the U.S. population, right? So according to this chart, it shows that in the case for white people, 76% of the U.S. population is white, and only 54% of missing cases are from white people. Now, when it comes to black people, we make up 13% of the population, yet there are 31% of missing cases. So you could see how the disproportionate, like, you know, amount is so, like, we make up 13% of the population, but the amount of missing cases is 31%.
Yeah.
Like that is wild. And as I said, in this case, it's like, yes, a missing person, regardless of color or whatever the case would be, is, you know, bad and unfortunate. But just the fact that there is such a huge gap between the two, right? In this chart, it's like the black people are the only statistic that there's more people missing than the amount of people in the population.
It's a huge discrepancy.
Yeah. And once again, you know, and this is coming from like the FBI's National Crime Information Center, right? So, I mean, these are stats that's coming from there. But ultimately, it's just like, why is it that the numbers are so vastly different? And what is it that's happening systematically that's creating that divide? So, one of the organizations that's been popping up a lot in this conversation, as I mentioned earlier, is the Black and Missing Foundation. It started back in around 2008 by these two women who made it their mission to highlight, you know, people of color, children of color, in the goal of providing that type of media coverage that, you know, these main media outlets would not
allow us to do so. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, they've been one of the founders, as I mentioned earlier, was on Joy Reid's show. It's these two black women who have founded it. Their names are Derricka Wilson and Natalie Wilson. So they work to ensure black people and other people of color reported missing don't slip through the cracks. They founded it back in 2008, as I mentioned before, to raise awareness around these cases and help families navigate police and the media, two spaces that can be hostile for people of color, right? So they have been doing this for some time, but it's really a matter of, all right, we know that there's a disparity between these type of cases. This organization, they've started it in order to navigate and bring more to the front of, hey, there are some black people missing, or, you know, mm-hmm. the cases where there's people of color missing, these are the cases that should be brought to light. And I got some more stats from their website that I just want to kind of quickly go over.
Okay.
So on their site, they mentioned that over 500,000 people were missing back in last year, right? And out of
that's
that,
a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. And I mean, that number more than likely is counting for people who might have been missing for years or anything like that. So
never been found.
Exactly. So the number, if anything, is accumulating or rolling over from years before, and just, if anything, unfortunately getting bigger, right? So of the 500,000, 30% of those people are minorities or considered minority people, who are including non-Hispanic people, right? And they also mention here that, you know, as we mentioned before, not every person that goes missing is going to get the same type of coverage, but there, once again, is a huge disproportionate amount of cases where white people are being promoted more than black people in this understanding, right? And now...
Wait, so you're saying 500,000... people were missing, and of those were like 37%.
As of last year, right?
So trying to do the math in my head. That's not 200,000. But it's kind of close. It's like maybe 150,000. That's a lot of people. Where are people going? And no one's, this is like,
ugh. Yeah. I mean, as I said, there's a lot of like true crime podcasts and all these other sources of media that, you know, people could deep dive into. I mean, that's not really my area.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, it's even funny, like, I'm thinking about it, and I mean, I'm guilty of this, or I guess many of us may be. For example, like, remember when you were watching the news growing up, and during like the commercial break, they'll talk about, have you seen ABC, and it's usually like mm-hmm. a little girl or a little boy that's gone missing, and if you have any information, call this number, right? And I think, you know, back in the day, I remember watching the news with my family, we would see those type of alerts and just be like, well, damn, that's sad, and then just keep it moving, right? Like,
that's true,
because I think in a sense of like missing persons, we become so desensitized to that type of information because I think there's a level of powerlessness that we come with where it's like, well, what can I do? Right. It's kind of similar to, you know, when Amber Alerts go out and just like, oh, this child's gone missing or whatever. It's like, well, I can't don a cape and fly outside and find this kid. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, like I'm only one person. And so according to the Black and Missing.
Sorry. It's funny that you brought up back in the day, because even when those types of like milk carton, advertisements came up. Mm-hmm. There was always, I used to watch like all kinds of weird shit when I was younger, but my mother used to never like me to watch Unsolved Mysteries. And when we used to watch that, they always had the missing persons alert up, but then I would always see the success story. So I would always think, hey, this person goes missing. Put them on Unsolved Mystery, and then a couple of years later, they'll say, hey, one of our viewers reached out, and they found such and such after so many years. Or if they haven't found the missing persons, they will lead them to more information. Right. Or unfortunately, if they found a body, they would still report, hey, we put this out a couple of weeks or a couple of months ago or a year ago, but the update is we have found this person or we found the body and da-da-da-da-da. So for me, in that aspect, when I saw things like that, I'm like, okay, you know, I was kind of ignorant in that, hey, somebody else will take care of it. You know what I mean? Course. Because it didn't hit close to home where I'm like, oh, okay, if I go out and go looking for Sarah, I'm going to find her. And we're like in 2,000 different mile radius away from each other. But I know that if somebody was watching Unsolved Mysteries and they seen someone and they could recognize a face, they can easily just call in. So I always felt like that was my safety net for not feeling as bad as I should have. But we don't have that today. Today we don't have that. Exactly.
I was just gonna say that, whereas like, I mean, you could give yourself a little bit of grace because back then, probably in the 90s, the technology or the resources to find people wasn't as great as now. Right?
But they still found people.
No, I mean, they did. Yeah, they did. But keep in mind, these are the... I mean, it is... Even though citizens could take it upon themselves to do that type of work, ultimately, it should be the job of these authority figures or authority organizations like the FBI, like all these organizations that are set in place to find missing people, right? So it's like, yeah, kind of similar to going back to David Robinson's case where it's like, all right, his father and his family are trying to raise money to do it on their own. That shouldn't be their responsibility. They're the ones that are going through the hardship, right? It should be these government agencies who are putting in their resources and their money to find people, not the family. So it's like, yeah, back then you would watch shows like that and see the updates and stuff like that. And just out of the grace of people, you know, being vigilant, then yes, certain cases would be solved, but that's ultimately not the responsibility of us as the people, right? Like, we're paying these government officials to do that type of work for us. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, take it with a grain of salt, but I mean, as I said, like, when I used to watch the news and see those, you know, those cases on the news where someone goes missing, and even now on Twitter, like, on Twitter, I know probably when you're scrolling through your timeline, I know for me at least, every so often I'm seeing a tweet where it's like, hey, help me find my cousin, help me find my brother, oh, this person's gone missing. And
even on IG, just reposting stories of people who've gone missing,
And for me, I kind of treat it similarly to when I used to watch the news where it's just like, oh man, that's sad, and I just keep scrolling. Because I feel like my retweet or my repost can only do so much. Right. So it's just like, it's sad seeing that, but what is the purpose or what would be the benefit of me retweeting this to my small following? You know what I mean? But every bit of promotion counts. And especially with me doing the research on these particular cases, now I'm realizing like, yeah, any retweet,
anything will help
no matter where you are. Like if a person goes missing in the DMV and I retweet it here, even if I don't live over there, there could be like a, you just never know, right? So that level of publicity and stuff like that, even for those who are doing their own legwork, you know, it does make a big impact at the end, you know, especially if the person is found. So, you know, those are the types of things, especially if you're listening and you probably are relating to what I'm talking about, where you see something on social media of someone missing, like, don't take that for granted, you know? Like,
yeah,
anybody, it's true. it's the new missing flyers on the street or on like trees or whatever.
It is.
But it just has a social media in that benefit has a
we've desensitized ourselves because we've seen it so many times and we're like, okay, what next?
Right.
You know? But if you're in that scenario, in that situation, or if you yourself, God forbid, ever become missing, you will want someone to do the same for you.
To do that type of work. Absolutely.
And even if they don't know you from a can of paint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what the Black and Missing Foundation, that's what they kind of mentioned in the disparities of media coverage. And there's three reasons that they put here, which I thought were very interesting. I kind of opened my eyes a little bit because it's things that we don't factor in into missing people's cases. But for example, so the first thing, as we're talking about, desensitization. It says here on the website, it is believed that missing minorities live in impoverished conditions and crime is a regular part of their lives. So when they go missing, it's just like, okay, yeah, that's to be expected.
The right? Nerve.
And once again, as I said, as I was just saying, I used to watch the news and see, and mind you, I'm personally not thinking, oh, you know, these people of color who got missing, they're from impoverished places. So, you know, I'm not thinking that way. But just the fact that, you know, it's seemingly someone's going missing every day and I'm in a position where I'm powerless. I'm just like, oh, man, that's really sad. Keep it moving, you know. But you can imagine other people who might think this way when it comes to people of color, Black people, in the regards of like, okay, you know, these people come from areas, lower income areas or other types of areas where this shit happens all the time. You know, it's to be expected if they go missing, then they've either been caught in a life of crime and all these other things. So there's already these stigmas and stereotypes that are placed on us. So when we go missing, our lives don't matter in that case. Another example is runaways, right? So just think of the way that, you know, that phrase, like a runaway versus somebody missing, right? It says a lot of minority children are initially classified as runaways. As a result, do not receive the Amber Alert. So this is what I was mentioning earlier, where it's like, all right, if you think about the term runaway, it's someone making the choice to run away from home or go away. So that's technically not a missing person. Right, it's just someone who's decided that they're gone and somehow, some way they'll turn up, right? Versus someone who's missing where it's like, oh, something happened to them, they've been kidnapped, this or that. So now the language that's
something
being
malicious
used,
actually happened to them. Exactly. So there's just in cause to actually go out and look for someone.
Exactly. So the language that's even being used in different cases makes a huge difference in how, you know, the coverage is being set up. Because once again, if you're hearing somebody ran away, then it's like, damn, well, probably they had issues at home, you know, stuff like that. And now people are now using these implicit biases to say like, oh, you know, people, you know, these poor brown children or Black children probably had like issues going on, you know, with their parents or at home. So they decide to run away because they couldn't take it. And now it's like, well, damn, you know, well, hopefully they turn up soon, or probably they're hiding, you know, at someone else's house or something like that. Right. So, yeah, you're not going to be worried about someone who ran away, you know what I mean? Versus someone missing, that's a whole different thing. Oh, no, how could they be missing? Where did they go? There's no contact, and now it's a whole...
Or an abduction.
Or you an know, abduction.
We've heard those stories before as well, too, that has a different connotation added to it, so people would want to be vigilantes and go out and try to find the person who has abducted someone to justify, you know, whatever went on in that scenario. But if someone is just running away, like you said, there's no type of urgency to go and find someone who's run away at all.
Absolutely. And it even made me think about, when you were saying abducting, it even makes me think about sex work, like sex workers that go missing, right? You know, they're stigmatized as, oh, okay, if they go missing, then of course they go missing because they're involved in sex work. And, you know, obviously that's a dangerous line of you know, work, so if they go missing, who cares, right?
Right.
And you think about all those sex workers who are potentially you know, like kidnapped and taken into sex trafficking and all these things. Those people are missing as well. But yet,
right,
nobody's giving, no one's putting any type of resources or care into finding those type of people. It's especially black girls who are kidnapped and taken into sex or sex trafficking or stuff like that. Like that type of coverage or that type of like care is non-existent.
Right? It's harmful because even though someone may be working as a sex worker and that's not something that they want to get themselves into, in the same essence, those kids, or it's usually teenagers who run away from home, back bringing it back to the runaways, a lot of these runaways are the ones who are abducted and taken into sex trafficking because they know people do not care about them and no one will go looking for them. And that is the absolute worst scenario that can happen to someone who has quote unquote run away, not because of any type of stigmas and stereotypes drawn, or they're from a bad home, or they're from this. Maybe they had to run away for something else, for, you know, survival, who knows, and then still ended up being a victim of a missing person case.
Right.
It all just muddles together, and there's no type of distinction between whatever someone's backstory is. At that time, they are not present in the moment. They are missing. However they came up missing, whether it's through abduction, runaway, sex trafficking, just being a missing person, there has to be some sort of resolution into that and looking into that with not only women of color, but men of color as well, too.
Yeah.
Get solicited as well, too. We don't hear about little black boys who just go disappearing and nobody questions that because, again, no one really cares about the little black boy either, unless you have some type of relationship or emotional standpoint. That's your brother, your son, your uncle. There's not really much light shone on black boys being missing as well, too. Not to take away from women of color, but also little boys of color, men of color as well, too. Same thing with Daniel Robinson and Jelani Day, and it's coming to light now that these things are being pressed in the news today. So, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, black children in general are always at the unfortunate, like, short end of the stick when it comes to these type of cases, and they kind of mentioned that too. The last disparity was just talking about like criminals, like how, you know, minorities or people of color are just typecast as criminals. So they say here, missing minority adults are labeled as associated with criminal involvement, gangs, and drugs. So once again, if they go missing, then it's like, oh, obviously they're a product of their environment. Obviously they've gone missing because they've got caught up with the
wrong people. It's justifiable.
Exactly. Right. You were mentioning children, and they have a breakdown of the percentages of those under 18 who've gone missing. And it says here that 36% of those cases that we mentioned earlier.
The 500 cases?
Yeah. 36% of those cases are all African-American people under the age of 18. So they're also...
That's basically all of the cases.
Yeah.
If my math is mathing, if I was saying 150K, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's basically all... That's more than 90%. I can't do math like that.
It says 145,000
are
the total number of missing persons of color under the age of 18, including African-American, Asian, and Indian.
That is deplorable. Like, no. Yeah. That's almost 100%.
Yeah. And once again, with all the reasons that we mentioned just now, these are the reasons why these type of cases go under the cracks. Because once again, people, the way they're typecast, the way that they're seen, the way that they're viewed in a media's eye, versus like, yo, they've asked for it. The type of lifestyle that they live, if they go missing, well, what else can we expect?
Yeah, but, you know, even with governing officials and law enforcement places, there should be some kind of protocol where each case should be treated the same way. As you know, I'm in the healthcare field, and we have a protocol that we go through from top to bottom, and we go through a list of questions so we can find out what's wrong with a patient regardless of wherever they come from. You know, the whole do not harm aspect of it, this is where it comes into play. Why isn't that type of, you know, that type of system embedded within our governance system, within our Federation of Bureau of Investigation? What are y'all investigating? Isn't there not set protocols? Each case that comes to you has to go through a different guideline or a different type of protocol for you to go through. Why is it that certain cases, again, are put on pedestals while others are swept underneath the rug?
Very good question. I don't know. And once again, I mean, this type of protocols that you're talking about should go for any
across all boards.
Across all boards, right. I mean, as you were mentioning the case where the mother was, like, begging or, like, having to denounce the police department or the authorities for not doing a proper job. Like, no parent or no family member or no loved one of someone that's gone missing should have to shame a police department or anything else like that for
something to do something
to do your job. Right. Like, do your job, son. That's all people are expecting for the people who are paying their taxes or paying their salaries. Do your fucking job and find and do your best and do your all to find my loved one. You know what I'm saying? But once again, unfortunately, as we saw from the numbers, there are a bunch of people who are missing or have gone missing within the past year. And as I said, that's not an excuse to not do everything that you need to find, you know, to find these people. But, you know, it's just fucked up how, you know, there's I guess the resources are spread so thin. And, you know, as I said, this does lead to people being able to be more vigilant, which actually goes into some of the solutions that it's called BAMFI, the Black and Missing Foundation. But they provide some solutions to level the playing field when it comes to, you know, missing person cases, especially people of color. So one thing that they mentioned to do is have more diversity in the newsroom. It says here, according to the 2018 diversity survey conducted by the American Society of News Editors, newsrooms tend to be white and male. A diverse staff can mean a wider range of stories can be told. As a journalism major, I do understand the notion of this, and I think there is a lot of merit that could go into diversifying news spaces. But also, outside of, well, I mean, right now we're in a current state where we do have a lot of different outlets, right? And I feel like in the sense of creating that diversity, not only certain newsrooms should be more diverse, but also creating platforms that are primarily directed and curated by us, right? And those becoming popular and those kind of becoming widespread. Like, just creating more notable and reputable news sources by people of color that could get that same type of attention and making that more commonplace. I think that could also add on to that type of solution. They also say here, less is more. Balance the scales and show less of one group and more of the other. And more of everyone in this case.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it says, yeah, show less of one group and more of everyone. So there's a diverse field of, like, all right, if people go missing, you know, show a black girl, show a black guy, show a Asian person. So, you know, thus different groups and categories. So it's not just,
but you're always seeing, you know,
one group of people.
You say that for me in a whitewashed kind of media outlet, I think that that sounds like a good idea, but from my experience, if a white person were to do this, it would go to the extreme. So now let's say we're focusing on Gabby Petito. In that same sense, a white media outlook, in order to promote different people of color to be on a news front, they would just solely focus on black people. There's like no in between for them. It's like two different extremes. And I think in that essence, as black people, we were forced to grow up to multitask and to consider everyone's races on an equal platform. So if the roles were reversed and white people had to do this, as you were saying, in this aspect, it might not work. Not to say it's that'd be a negative Nancy, but we are just multifaceted, where we can operate on a different playing field, and we can look into multitasking and seeing that everyone has an equal distribution of care and media coverage.
Right. I mean, I disagree, only because the news, the media, if they wanted to, they have the power to cover whatever they want to cover. And they have the ability to make small stories very big. So if they had the ability to cover multiple groups of people who go missing, as I said, obviously there's only so much coverage you could do for so much cases. But they, if they could give the amount of energy they gave to Gabby Petito, which once again, a very horrible story, they could give that energy to different people who look differently, right? Or different groups. And once again, it doesn't have to be a matter of like, okay, now we're going to go to the opposite extreme and cover every black person, right? But at the same time, there's a lot of people. We just saw 500,000 people missing, son. And this is just within the past year. There are so many cases that could be highlighted. Even if they do the same thing like they do on the news, as I was saying back in the day. I don't know if they still do it now. I don't watch the news. I don't sit there and watch the news or like the local news. But they could squeeze in some time to say like, hey, these are the current missing people for the week or whatever. If you have any information, you know, contact
these organizations. There's some news platforms that do that though.
No, I know there are, but what I'm saying is it's like, you know,
I'm still waiting for the big ones,
especially
CNNs. Yeah, the big ones.
Major news networks, like these 24-hour channels, they have the ability to like put out more information instead of, all right, day 7 of Gabby Petito. You know what I mean? And it's just like, yeah, of course it's a gripping story. Of course it's wild, but it's like you could put that same energy and have a small segment to, all right, these are the current missing people that have gone missing. If anyone has any information, you know, as I said, reach out to this organization, reach out to this network. So I say they definitely could do that. And other ways that the playing field could be leveled is by seeing value in black and brown lives, which black lives matter. So duh. And also being vigilant. They say here on the site, we all, law enforcement, the media, and our community should be vigilant in finding our missing. And I do agree with that. I do agree with that in that, yes, it takes all of us to pull our resources together to find missing loved ones and all these things. I still also think that the authorities should definitely be the leading charge in those type of cases too, right? Where it's like, yes, everyone does their part. Obviously, everyone works together to find these people. But it shouldn't take, in the case of, once again, Daniel Robinson, it shouldn't just take, you know, the family doing all the heavy lifting, right? And I think that's unfair. I think, yes, the family should do everything in their power to try to find, you know, their loved ones. But also, you know, as I said, these authority organizations and everybody possible should be doing their part as well. And it shouldn't all just land on one entity, you know? So, I mean, those are some ways that, you know, things could be better, right? But it also takes consistent effort. So, as I said, if you're looking on social media and you see someone posting their missing relative and stuff like that, hit that repost. Do the best you can. And as I said, it may not seem like it does much, but it does much more than you may think. And, you know, there's other organizations who are doing this type of work too. One of them is called the DOE Network, D-O-E. And the DOE Network is International Center for Unidentified and Missing Persons. So they're doing that type of work. This is another organization called Name Us. And Name Us is NAMUS, and it stands for National Missing and Unidentified Person System. So I think this is a website where you can like search people's names and stuff like that, and they have different resources that are available for you to try to track missing persons. Specifically for people of color, there's this website called OurBlackGirls.com, which we were talking about. Proportionately, black girls don't get the type of media coverage that they deserve when it comes to missing person cases. So this website is dedicated to highlighting all of the black girls who have gone missing recently and curtain cases that are open and still going that you could, you know, look into and get information. And hopefully, you know, once again, citizen vigilantism could mm-hmm. take place and, you know, find people. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of resources out there that you could tap into. I'll make sure to put these links in the description for the episode. And yeah, man, I mean, as I said, doing all this research, it just really made me sad. I think it just filled me with a lot of just being overwhelmed. Like, this is a very overwhelming thing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you think that there's only so much you could do, once again, just sharing a post, just being vigilant, especially if it's someone that might be in your local area, depending on where you live, just being mm-hmm. vigilant, looking out for signs. You never know if you may come across someone's face or probably saw a license plate, for example, if that's involved in the case. You just never know, right? We're only as helpful as we are if we actually get involved. And even in cases where, you know, you could probably send some money and help a family with some resources, that goes a long way as well. So there's definitely ways that we can help and that we can, you know, just, I mean, as I said, it's a large number, but if we can at least do our part to find one missing person, then we've done much more than anybody else could ever. So I'll just say do the best that you can, or do everything that you can to contribute to these type of causes. And, you know, I'm just hoping that certain cases could get solved.
Yeah, I think the biggest takeaway that I experienced from this Gabby Petito case was that it brought light to other missing persons. Again, Danielle Robinson, Lauren Cho, you know, she was a Asian woman who disappeared, same timeline as Gabby Petito, maybe the same scenario, found in the woods, and Jelani Day. Like, at least we can figure out what the next steps are to help with people of color when they go missing in this aspect. And that's the best thing that we got out of this, because, you know, everyone can tell you who Gabby Petito is, but no one can tell you who Danielle Robinson is, or who Lauren Cho is, or who Delani J is. If you're not watching or active on social media, you don't know these people, because they're not on the big news platforms, and right. no one could recite the names off. You know, we should be able to know currently in current news, you know, today's topics, that these are the people who are missing, and we need to shine more light on people like that so they can have a voice that's often unheard.
Absolutely. I totally agree. And yeah, at the end of the day, is like, the resources are out there. You know, as we were saying before, it takes all of us to do this type of work, or to be vigilant, or to be helpful. So don't underestimate yourself when it comes to what you can do, right? I mean, there's certain things that might be in your power and certain things that may not be, but ultimately we all play a part in helping, you know, these people that have been missing be found, hopefully safe. We're all hoping that, you know, whoever is missing can be found safely. But there's a lot of families out there that don't have a lot of answers. And, you know, every family that is suffering from someone that has been missing deserves an answer, whether pleasant or not. So, yeah, I mean, as I said, we all have a part to play. So we just got to make sure to do our best to be a part of it. And if you are one of those sleuths out there who have all the technology and all the hacking skills to find somebody, do your job, son. Come on. I could, I mean, look, the most I could do when it comes to finding people or finding stuff is find my iPhone. That's all I got. I ain't got no type of extras. All
right.
Technology that can find things, or, you know, I'm just saying, I mean,
took a sharp left.
That's the most that I got. But I know there are smarter people out there that could do deep dives and search different parts of the web to find people. So y'all do your jobs. And the same way y'all should have been found that Gabby Petito's fiance by now. That's as far as...
Oh, my God.
I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
He's not missing. I think he is not missing. Okay? That's the answer. He's not missing. That man.
Why don't you turn his iPhone on?
Well, somebody should. Because I'm telling you right now, he is somewhere and he is watching the news. And he's like, well, good luck. Because y'all niggas ain't going to find me. And that's exactly what he wants y'all to think. All I'm saying, find that man, arrest that man, because he did it. And I'm standing by that word. And I will just say allegedly because I don't want to be sued. And that's that. That's all I got. Anyway. Well, that is it for us today. I hope you learned something new today. I hope you got something out of this episode, as you should every episode moving forward, because me and Rovio are now on a new mission to be better and smarter and more aware. Right?
100%. 100%. Yeah. 100%.
You know, especially after the live show, we just felt really charged up in order to like bring you some better content. We're working on a whole bunch of things behind the scenes. So make sure to support us by following the show, listening on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast and Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts, iHeartRadio as well. Make sure to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok. Are we still TikToking? We still talking out here?
Of course we're TikTok. We always going to be TikToking. All right. What's so funny to me is that all the audience members who message me and slide in the DMs and tell me these things, but you know, we still want audience participation. Of course. Why don't you guys email us your questions as well too? We'll answer. You know, I'm taking every suggestion everyone has given it to me and I'm internalizing it and trying to spit it back out in the most progressive form of podcasting for you guys.
Correct. So yes, especially those at the live show, for those who have suggested for us, we really appreciate those. We are taking those into consideration and we also want to implement those. So the more that y'all participate or engage with us is the more that we can engage and give back. So yes, follow us on our social media platforms and also follow me and Rovio respectfully and look behind the scenes of our lives as we post. And yeah, that's all I got.
Is it all you got?
That's all I have for this week.
Where can they email us for questions?
They can email us at sophigpodcast@gmail.com.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
One more time for the ones in the back.
sophigpodcast@gmail.com. Email your questions.
Yeah, email questions.
If you'd like to be a guest on the show and talk with us about particular topics, then you are free to join us. We're always looking for different voices and different opinions and thoughts. And yeah, as I said, we're working on bettering ourselves or bettering this platform. So join us on that journey.
This was good.
This was good. I'm happy that we're back on the saddle. Rawr. Or he.
Wait.
Sorry. I
don't think
I made a horse
felines.
I made a horse reference.
Right, with saddles. I don't think it works.
Yeah.
This is why we're not going to get emails, because of things like that.
Well, y'all know what sounds animals make, so.
But a cat or a feline, a lion.
All right.
All right.
I can make a better cat noise than a horse noise, to be fair.
Okay, we're not asking for your bedroom antics, but.
Excuse me?
It was fun. Thank you guys for listening.
I am going to keep my comments to myself because we
thank you everyone for listening.
We have revolved.
And we're going to see you at the next episode. Please tune in. You guys, love to be here. Love to hear from you guys. Thank you once again. Mm-hmm. Ciao.
Say goodbye, Ruby.
Bye, Ruby.